Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Valerie's House, which offers support services focused on children who have experienced loss, operates three homes in Southwest Florida. They recently received a $100,000 grant from the Naples Children and Education Foundation. That's the founding organization of the Naples Winter Wine Festival. That money is going to help them expand their services in Collier County. Valerie's House gives children a home-like environment to identify, express, and process their grief through art, music, and other services, all overseen by licensed clinical social workers. The nonprofit first opened its first home in Fort Myers in 2016, then expanded to Naples in 2017 in a borrowed space with limited capacity. Now it's going to be opening a new permanent home in Naples this August, which will allow them to help approximately 100 more local grieving children and families. Joining me now to get an update on it is its founder, Angela Melvin. Angela, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you again. And we're also joined today by Naples resident Debbie Ratu, as well as her two daughters, 15-year-old Morgan and 11-year-old Maddie, who lost their father, John, in 2017 after a long six-year battle with cancer. Welcome to you all, and thanks so much for coming in to share your story with us and our listeners.
Oh, thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having us.
And I know Maddie said that she wasn't sure she's really willing to chime in, but I told her, I invited her, hey, if you feel like hopping in, hop on in, but no huge expectations if you're feeling too shy. That's A-okay and fine, but thanks for coming in anyway. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. If you'd like to add, you can also catch us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So first, Angela, I want to ask you, give us a little bit of background on Valerie's House and how it came to exist.
Valerie was my mother, and she died in 1987 in a car accident in Fort Myers, Florida. At the time, I was just about 11, right before my birthday there over the summer, before sixth grade. And my sister was 8, and we just didn't have anywhere to go after such a tragedy in our family. So it was always sort of stuck there in the back of my mind, you know, when I grow up, one of these days, I'm going to have a place for other grieving kids to go and just know each other. And that's what Valerie's House is. It's just a special place where kids and families come together, and they bond and they connect and they love on each other. And it's very powerful.
How did you end up getting to the point where you could make that decision to make that leap?
A lot of things
happened. I mean, you had the idea in the back of your head all that time, and then all of a sudden you're like, this is going
to
happen.
Yeah, a lot of things have to happen for that to happen. We actually, had been thinking about this for a while, my family and I, and talked to a couple of people. Sarah Owen with the Southwest Florida Community Foundation was instrumental in believing in me from the very beginning, and a lot of people came together in the community. Scott Sherman, who was one of our founding board members, founding chair, and his family, and just a lot of people who had gone through grief personally. Really, it's very grassroots. One grieving family at a time has made this happen.
It's a unique experience too, going through grief. It's different from a lot of other things. So it's interesting. This is a more focused approach to going through grief. Everybody eventually has to go through something like grief, but now this is specifically for children. Can you tell me a little bit about the process when somebody shows up at the door or gives you the first call?
Debbie and Morgan and Maddie, I'm sure, will agree with this. Most families don't want to come to Valerie's House or a place like Valerie's House. It's the last place you want to end up is going to talk about feelings and grief, and I'd rather just push this under the rug and move on and almost pretend like it didn't happen, which is kind of what happened in my family. It's not the best way to do it, and we know that. So, but once the kids walk through the door and they feel the warmth and the love and they meet other kids their own age, which is just so incredibly powerful to know that I'm not the only child in school that has lost a mom or a dad or a brother or sister, and really that's where it all begins. And same with the moms and the dads, to know that they're not by themselves in this journey that, like I said, is no one wants to be going through this. We cannot bring the person back. I'll never soften it with our kids and say, well, at least you have, or, you know, they were robbed. They were robbed of someone that should be in their life. And what we do is we just walk with them through it so they're not alone. And then we become family in our own way, don't we?
Yeah.
So the first home was in Fort Myers, right?
Yes.
And that opened when?
2016, January of 2016.
And you're also offering services in Punta Gorda?
Yes, we will begin in August. We're going to be utilizing a church there, the First United Methodist Church in Punta Gorda.
And then now you're going to be opening a new one down in August in Naples as well.
Yep, we started in Naples in 2017, mm-hmm. early 2017, using North Naples Church and the Village School for the last 2.5 years. And we have grown exponentially with kids there. A little over 100 children in the program in the last year have come through with their parents. And so we've been gifted a new home. So we're really excited about that. It's going to be near the corner of Pine Ridge and 41 and a place to call our own.
It's kind of nice that it's a home instead of, you know, another strip mall or
yes.
whatever, right?
Yeah,
does that home environment make a difference?
I don't know. You can ask.
It doesn't feel quite as clinical, I guess.
It really does, because where the teen group meets is on the floor in the gym. So mm-hmm. we're sitting on pillows, which is nice, but it's just you're not in an area. And, like, people walk through. It's just mm-hmm. not like an area where it feels more secluded. It feels more almost as if you're in a school, basically. And some of the kids there, that is their school. So it's like, oh, I'm talking about grieving in my own school. Wow.
And the parents come by as we're finishing up our group. And, I mean, not that we're purposely listening, but we do walk by the teen group. And I know that yeah. isn't.
So that's where we've been currently, is at the Village School. And it's mm-hmm. been incredible as we've grown. But now everyone is jumping up and down that we have our own house.
Yeah.
That'll be
and
amazing.
They've seen the Fort Myers house. So they've come to see the Fort Myers house. And they're like, this is what we want here. And
great.
So now they're finally getting.
So, Debbie, tell me about how you first ended up here. When did you hear about Valerie's house, and how did you end up getting yourself there and your girls?
Let's see. I want to say, well, my husband passed in March of 2017, and I really didn't do much outside of our own, the three of us coping for that summer. And then I want to say when we went to school – maybe the counselor at one of the schools had mentioned it. But then also, ironically enough, one of my healthcare providers knew of the situation and she attended too. And so she mentioned it. So word of mouth really was what really solidified us in getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Because by that next fall, late 2017, I was ready to have us branch out a bit. I really didn't know. Kind of like what we were saying with going on autopilot when you're first dealt with the blow of grief or of a loss. So when I kind of sorted through some of my autopilot mode,
And the high expectations you place on yourself to just get on with it?
It was enough just for me to get up and get them through the day and get them fed and remember to feed them dinner, which sounds terrible, but it took a while. I mean, no, they ate every day, but
nobody's turning you in.
We can feed ourselves if necessary.
But my point being is when I finally felt like I had all of that under control well enough that the three of us could go branch out and really work on more mental coping mechanisms.
It's shocking how devastating grief can be in the very beginning, that it's like just basic functioning is really difficult. So I totally understand what you're saying there.
Yeah.
So what did you feel like when you first walked into Valerie's house? When you were taking your girls there, what did it feel like for you?
Well, to be honest, it did. It felt awkward at first. I really felt like this was a group of people that were here for a very unfortunate gathering, a situation. And it really did take me a while to realize, you know, this is a very inviting and safe and warm and comforting place for the families and for the children particularly. I mean, I can't speak for my kids, but I felt that they just – were able to open up in a way that they couldn't with me. They didn't know how to with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a one-on-one therapist, I don't know if that would have been accomplished. So it took me a bit. I'm not going to lie. It was awkward. But this year is our second year that we've been attending, and it's just – I've completely set that aside. I walk in and I'm just so, so happy to see everyone, and the kids run immediately. I don't even think sometimes they have the potluck meal. They just go straight to playing with the kids.
Yeah, and hanging out.
Yeah.
So, Morgan, tell me a little bit about how you felt walking up the first day. Were you nervous? Were you like, I don't want to go, or I do want to go.
Basically, so a few years ago, I'm a totally different person now. I'm more outspoken now. But a few years ago, I was overly nervous with people, and I would not very open up. So it took me way longer than my mom. It took me like a year to really get comfortable. Like, I felt comfortable and I spoke my mind, but I just kind of sheltered myself without realizing, which is totally not their fault. They made the most welcoming environment for me, and now I hope I can keep that welcome. But so it didn't really hit, like, it didn't really, I didn't know any of the kids there well enough. And then I met a friend, and then I kind of started opening up more and like letting myself out in a way. So it did take me a while, but now I just go in and I'm like, woo, fun time. I mean, not fun time, but like, because we're talking about such a heavy subject, but it's more of a, I feel comfortable and welcome here, so I'm going to have fun and a good day. I know this makes my day better.
Yeah, you're not going to freak anybody out by talking about the grief that you've been going through and how things impact you day to day.
Yeah, because it's like these people are experiencing it as well. It's not the exact same. No situation is the exact same. No feelings are the exact same. But it's similar in most aspects, and you can really like relate to these people, and you know they won't be freaked out by it. They won't be upset because, like, they either have or are going through what you are going through.
Do you recognize sometimes when a new kid comes in yourself in them?
Yes, most certainly, because I can kind of see the, like, fear of talking and being open and being nervous and scared. So I try my hardest to, like, welcome the kid in, make sure that, like, if they want to talk, they can talk and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you see sometimes as they eventually break down those walls and are able to start like really talking out loud about things, do you see the difference in them as well?
Oh, yes, most certainly. I can really like – it's so fun because you've been there for a while, so there's like more of the kids that are like stay there a lot. But as the new kids that come in and they stay and keep going, you can slowly see them open up or quickly open up depending on the person. But it's just like – such a lovely thing because you're like, whoa, they trust us enough to let them into this part of their lives.
Mm-hmm. So how often do you go? Once a week?
It's the second and fourth Thursday of every month.
Okay.
Usually, so.
So yeah. Do you look forward to it now?
Oh, yes. I do look forward to it. Oh, my gosh. English is difficult. But it's
there's so
just,
much you want to say, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of excited to be here. But, like, it's just so, like, welcoming and fun because, like, I mean, you get food. Everyone brings in their own food, so
food's
that's
always great.
Also cool.
Food makes everybody happy.
Food's a good icebreaker.
It really is, unless it's bad, in which case. But if it's a potluck, people care about each other, they're going to make good stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, certainly.
That's the best ingredient in any recipe is caring about the people you're making it for. Maddie, did you have the same kind of experience as your sister Morgan did?
Well, I was kind of nervous because I didn't really know anyone there, kind of like her. But after a few days, we kind of got together and stuff and became close. Like, we knew each other's ticks, and we knew each other's ticks. So, like, we knew what we would do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really grieving. We more were just having fun messing around with each other while we were grieving.
It's nice to have a sister near, you know, even though do you guys ever fight?
Oh, all the time.
But at least you know you guys are always going to have one another's back, especially going into an entirely new environment like this.
Yeah.
So you were nervous going in. And I'm judging from the two of you, and I talked with you before the show, you seem to be the more shy of the two.
I am shy. I am very outspoken with my friends. But when I'm meeting new people, I just bundle up. I don't really talk that much.
Yeah, it's intimidating sometimes. And how old are you now?
11.
11? Well, you're a very mature 11. How do you feel like being at Valerie's House has impacted you over the last couple of years? You know, it's been a couple of years and you were nervous in the very beginning. But how have you seen yourself evolve, you know, emotionally and working through grief? I know that's kind of a big question.
I've definitely learned to accept the situation more than I did in the beginning. And I definitely opened up more to people now. Like, if we get a new member, we all just talk and have fun and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because you can recognize that uncomfortableness, which you're familiar with because you felt the same way.
Yeah.
Right? It's such a great support system that – and I'm wondering, Debbie, when I turn back to you about – these are your daughters and you're watching them do this and you're watching them help other kids through this most difficult situation. How does that feel for you?
It's really amazing in such a hard time. You can find such strength and pride in the people around you. And the girls have definitely just blown me away with their strength and fortitude and fall down and stumble and get right back up. And it just – it's sad in a way that it takes something so severe to really – allow you to recognize that or to maybe push you to do that. But mm-hmm. the kids have just grown leaps and bounds. And the coping skills that I think, you know, we even as adults may or may not have, I feel that they're finding, definitely with the help of Valerie's House, but also just given the situation that they've been put in. And I'm really – the pride is just overwhelming, overwhelming. Like I cry more now thinking of how well they're doing. and that's pretty special.
That's a good turn of events. Do you see that a lot, Angela, with parents and their kids and family units coming in?
Yes, definitely. I see so much because now we're going on 3.5 years and a lot of families are still with us. I always celebrate these there's this first core group of families that were with us on that first night back in January of 2016 where we didn't know where this was going. We just knew we wanted to do something. And we started with 22 kids. And last year we had over 300 come through the doors. So some of those families are still with us from that first night. And those kids mentor the new kids coming in and the growth and the confidence. And just like Morgan just said when she was speaking, she's like, grief is very individual. Everyone goes through it differently. And that's something that we talk about all the time at Valerie's House, that it's very personal. Even people in the same family don't grieve the same. And that we have to recognize that we might not grieve the same as our sister, as our mom, and or even our friend. And that's okay. Everything's okay at Valerie's House. There's no judgment. We meet the kids and families right where they are. Most of us who work at Valerie's House have had a loss. I lost my mom when I was 10. Several of our team members have all lost parents. We have a spouse, a Valerie's House mom, who now works with us full time, working with the new families. So we really are a community of people who have gone through it and are reaching out and saying, you can get through this. There's hope.
It's interesting how you talk about how everybody's so different and everybody experiences grief in a different way. But I would imagine within a family, if two different family members have a different response to things, I could see those family members looking at the other and being like, well, you clearly don't care, or you just need to move on. I mean, that has to be a tough battle to watch people having within the family that's left.
Yeah, that's hard, right, Debbie? The family dynamic sometimes changes so quickly, and it's sometimes hard to hold on to that.
Yeah, and beyond, you know, the person we lost was a different person to each one of us. You know, I lost my husband, but the girls lost a dad. So it's a different relationship. It's a different way to realize the loss, and that in and of itself kind of puts us at a different, not level ground. And I'm now the only parent to the two children, and I feel outnumbered. But beyond that, they're good kids.
Well, you got two strong girls here, so it's
right.
Tough.
Yes,
you know?
But I've always encouraged open communication, because I feel that that's all we've got. You know, we've got each other, and we've got our ability to talk about stuff. And sometimes there's more willingness to do so than others, but I've definitely seen a lot of growth in the willingness to do so since we've been together at Valerie's House and working through our grief, through our own way and in our own individual way. But again, at the end, you know, like I even when I drive home from the group without pressing too much, you know, I'm just like, hey, how was group tonight? You know, da 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 da. And sometimes it's pretty heavy. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes we laugh. But it's just nice that we've had our moment. We've had our individual time. We've expressed ourselves how we need to. But then we can come back together, too, because all three of us. I mean, even as the two siblings losing the father, they have expressed themselves differently. So it's
kind of nice, though, to have that break from the three people that you've been surviving with. You know,
no.
To just be able to talk to them. I mean, and when I say these are two strong girls, they're kind of modeling themselves after a pretty strong mom. So,
oh, very much.
You guys
so.
Are all in the same boat. But what do you think about that whole like taking a break and a little bit of a breather and being able to be your individual self instead of one of the group of three survivors in your family?
I feel like as much as it's nice to speak within your family and how important that is, I feel being with people that you can, like, relate to that are your age, that are not your family or your friend. Like, I mean, they are your friends, but, like,
as in people you may not have known before, it's more freeing because you basically are talking to people that won't judge, probably may not even go to your school, so they're probably not going to see you outside of this. So it's just your place to express yourself for who you are, for things that you may not be able to tell your family, or things that may be too personal to tell your family, you know?
Or just stuff you kind of don't want your family to know.
Yeah, most certainly.
Stuff. I mean, people can't know everything.
Yeah.
The schools, Julie, the schools in Collier County and Lee County and Charlotte County have been so incredibly helpful with helping. Maddie, do you go to Bear and Collier, or where do you? Morgan.
I go to Barron.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And so the counselors there are usually the first ones who find out that a family member has passed away. And so that's why we've been able to grow so quickly. And, you know, the schools can only do so much. You know, they've got a lot of kids and teachers have classes. And so sometimes it's often very hard for a child who's grieving to find their place in the classroom. And so we have a lot of work to do this next year, too, just educating the schools as to how best to handle and help a family when they return as well.
The school districts, we hear, are constantly just overloaded. There's a lot to think about within the public school system and or any school system. So having a resource like this, I think, is pretty critical. When I talked to you last time, Angela, you were talking about a big jump in the number of kids who are experiencing loss as a result of opioid overdoses. Is that still the case?
Yes, absolutely.
Still climbing.
Still there. Yep, still climbing. It just seems like it's tapered off. I mean, there was at one point, I remember, I think it was October of 2017, it was like 30 new kids in a month or something. It was like every day we were getting a new call or new family. It does continue to plague our community, no question about it. And Valerie's House is one of those places where the families end up after mom or dad has passed away from drugs. And this is all across the spectrum. I mean, we have a family who is a school teacher who got addicted, you know, and she passed away and, you know, intact family and fell to an addiction. But the problem is that the kids really, you know, they will follow in their parents' footsteps, and statistics show that much more likely to try drugs, to be more interested in it when they've had a parent struggle with that. So that's what we try to do. We had a special group we were running for a while just with opioid families and their struggles with the shame that comes in that, and how to best talk about it and how to tell your kids. And some kids are little, so how do you explain what happened and the guilt that they find? And there's a lot that goes in with grief in general. Guilt is probably the biggest emotion that we all face, even kids, regardless of how the person died. It's one of our colors of emotion that we talk a lot about at Valerie's House, and how to really let go of that we couldn't have caused it, we couldn't have changed it, and that's something you have to address early on in life. Otherwise, it will stay with you. And we know what happens in down the line is these kids and families who aren't dealing with grief right now will end up, coping in another way.
It's strange, though, that you mentioned that people feel guilty when they survived. I mean,
yes.
Survivor's guilt, I guess. But I mean, it's also you feel guilty like you should have done something you could have done, but there's really nothing. You know, you just don't have any power to do that.
Right. Yep.
It's a familiar one. Your situation, this was a cancer situation, right? I just want to make sure that we're clear. Mm-hmm. And he was sick for a while, you said.
He was. He was diagnosed in 2011 and passed away in 2017. And it got progressively more frequent with needing to either have a surgery to remove where it metastasized or, radiation or some form of treatment. So the kids pretty much just grew up realizing we would be at a hospital and don't know what kind of state, you know, their dad would come back home in. So I think a lot of I don't want to speak for them, but I would think a lot of the grief aspect was all of leading up to it as well, realizing you're not going to have a dad.
Yeah, Morgan, I mean, that was a lot of your childhood. You mentioned earlier you had a few years of health there. And Maddie, that was your situation for much of your life.
Yeah, he was diagnosed when I was about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know him before he had it,
mm-hmm.
before he didn't have it. The only thing I remember is us going to a construction site he was working on once.
Mm-hmm. So you remember that, and that was during the healthy times?
Yes.
Right.
Or the first year of his diagnosis when it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. And I know that part where you're like, we can do this. We can beat this thing. Do you remember that period?
Oh, I definitely do remember. It's affected me to the point where I am like so acquainted with hospitals and how they work that like I call myself the connoisseur of hospital food because I've been in and out of these.
Oh, it's nasty.
It's some of it's gross. Some of it's really good. For example, Moffitt has some pretty good cancer food. Oh, my God. So it's a cancer hospital. It has pretty good food. There's like the best. Pretty much everything's good there. But then there's like I'm not going to throw names out because that's kind of rude, but there are some hospitals that are like, you don't get their food from. But then there's, like, the safe foods, like mac and cheese or, like, grilled cheese is pretty safe to get.
I don't know. People can really mess up mac and cheese.
She could start a blog on this.
Hospital foods?
Grilled cheese is pretty good.
Grilled cheese is hard to mess up, and so is mac and cheese. But when people do, they mess it up bad.
Yeah, no, it's oh, my goodness.
But you can see sometimes for people listening, they might be like, this is, like, really awkward. They're talking about visiting their dad and food. But you have to keep, like, a total sense of, like, we are who we are. We're still going to laugh. We're still going to smile. Life still is – we're still living, you know, and
well,
that's
just
part of what we learn.
It's like they say when people have a diagnosis of an illness, the cancer isn't who that person was. I mean, that's not the only thing to remember about that human being.
That's exactly right.
And just, like, grief isn't the only thing that you all are.
Yeah. Grief shouldn't define you. What you do should define you. And your personality should define you. Not your grief and how you're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you shouldn't just guess how someone is based on how they grieve.
That's right.
Because, like, some people may use humor as a coping mechanism and they may be hurting a lot, but they're showing a more humorous side. And you just may never know. And also going back to the hospital point, I meant to say this earlier, but you grow up with what you think is normal versus what other people think is normal. Like, I think visiting hospitals just kind of came a normality to me where I, like, would memorize the smell. I would, like, do all this stuff because I'm like, huh, this is just a normal experience.
This is what you do.
Yeah, and then, like, other kids are like,
I've never been to a hospital.
I've never been to a hospital. I'm just here like, really? They're not that fun, but I mean, it's an experience.
And let me advise you against any of the canned vegetables.
Yes, no canned vegetables.
We are out of time. Unfortunately, I would love to continue this conversation, but it's been so great to talk with you all and talk with Angela Melvin, founder of Valerie's House. Angela, thanks for being here and congratulations on the expansion in Naples.
Thank you so much.
I also want to thank Debbie Ratu and her two daughters, 15-year-old Morgan and also 11-year-old Maddie. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website at gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnaird, John Davis, and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.